It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
And good Friday morning, everyone. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy Rios today as we come to the end of a week of Friday. And for our dear folks who live along the southeast coast of this country, I know you're glad this week is coming to a close. And this morning, Hurricane Dorian down to a Category 1. You know, we say down to a Category 1 and we think, okay, it's just kind of raining and blowing. But no, if you've ever felt a hurricane, even at a Category 1 stage, this is still a pretty bad storm. So right now, this morning, we understand from the latest report at 5 o'clock this morning, Dorian Center was passing just east of Cape Lookout. That's North Carolina's coastline. And as I say, down to a Category 1. But leaving in its wake South Carolina, where upwards of 250,000 people were without power yesterday, a lot of flooding in cities like Charleston, Myrtle Beach. Those areas took it really hard, folks. So be praying for these folks. A lot of wind damage. On top of all, there were twisters, tornadoes that were spawned by this storm. So there's going to be days, weeks, months of recovery in the wake of all of this. So the storm, Dorian, should be headed out to sea in the next 24 hours or so, leaving our coastline and heading off to the Canadian Maritime Provinces, where it'll be a pretty good storm there, too. I happen to be heading in that direction, but it will pass there, I think, before I get there. But they're kind of used to the wind storms. But for the southeast coast of the United States, it is passing on. It'll be time for recovery. Now, as you're well aware, early on in the week, the worst hit of this was in the Bahamas. And I tell you what, folks, if you have a chance somewhere along the way today just to get a visual indication of how bad things were in parts of the Bahamas, I invite you to go to onenewsnow.com, onenewsnow.com. There is a video on our site that has still images of, in particular, the Abaco Islands area. That's to the east of Grand Bahama. Go there and you'll get an indication of just how bad that was. You will remember that it went through the Bahamas and kind of parked over the Bahamas early on as a Category 5. You're talking winds of 185 miles an hour. You will see what kind of damage that can be done in an area that has no high mountains, really no shelter. It's flat, the Bahama Islands. And those folks continue to need our prayers and our support and help in any way. Now, the good news is that help is on the way and has already started. It is a semi-British satellite, so the British Navy has arrived in some area offering help. There are cruise lines from the United States that are feeding upwards of 10,000 people a day. And the airport there on this Abaco Island airport is semi-open. We understand this morning that small aircraft are starting to arrive, bringing in much-needed supplies for folks there. And also flying people out, some of those with injuries, some of those the elderly, they are the first to be flown out into safer areas. So that is the situation there this morning, but it is still, I think, folks, when you look at those images, if you haven't seen them yet, you're going to understand it's going to take years for that area to recover. It's hard to describe if you've seen images of a bomb going off, a nuclear explosion of type. Those are the kinds of images that you're seeing. The death toll as of this morning, you remember just a few days ago, it was 7. It's up to 30 now. But people who live in that area, as authorities are getting in there and they're starting to do a search, these people, these dear residents of this area, are starting to tell folks that they have seen many more bodies. So we expect that death toll to certainly climb over the next few days. But there are, as I say, there are many organizations. Samaritan's Purse is one of them that's gearing up to help the folks in the Bahamas. I know the Salvation Army will be there. Our dear Coast Guard people have already been in there over the last 2 or 3 days. As I say, there's a real effort. It's really interesting, in the location where we are, in Tupelo, Mississippi, we were told yesterday that a King Air airplane with seats about 9 people or so that came up from Florida and landed in the Tupelo area. There's just to show the heart of folks, it's gearing up to take as many supplies when it leaves Tupelo. It's going to fly from Tupelo to the Bahamas. And, things like Clorox wipes and that kind of thing that may be needed. They're going to try to put as much on that airplane as they can and go there. And I think you're going to see that repeated. And I would invite you to check this kind of thing out, folks, that if there are planes in your area, if there's a missions organization at your church or whatever the case may be, that you contact them and find out ways that you can help these dear people. Now, we know our good friends at 8 Days of Hope. We got notice last night that they will be coming out with an announcement probably in the next day or so as to what 8 Days of Hope will be doing. Of course, I think their focus may be going to areas like South Carolina, North Carolina. 8 Days of Hope, just a terrific ministry that American Family Association, we've been partnering with them for quite some time. But last night, 8 Days of Hope did put out a press release for folks to be thinking about the kinds of items that right now that you can donate if you can. And there's a collection center here at our home base in Tupelo, Mississippi, at Bancorp South Arena. And then also at their satellite station in Buffalo, New York. So they're collecting. So that's starting to accept donations on Monday, this coming Monday, at 11 o'clock in the morning through 7 o'clock in the evening, all right? Now, the kinds of things they're looking for: gloves, safety glasses, dust masks, heavy-duty plastic garbage bags, chainsaws, oil for chainsaws, gift cards like from Walmart and Lowe's and Home Depot. So if Lord lays it on your heart to do these kinds of things and to go to these areas, and we'll try to get this 8 Days of Hope press release posted on our websites, our Facebook pages, so that you know and you'll get the exact addresses of where you can take this. As I say, we've got a call in to the head of 8 Days of Hope, Steve Tiber. We might get a chance to talk to him in this hour to give us a few more details on this. But what they're aiming for donations starting on Monday morning, this coming Monday morning at 11 o'clock until 7 p.m. at these two locations, Tupelo, Mississippi, Bancorp South Arena, and then at their Buffalo, New York location, and that's at Kensington Avenue, Buffalo, New York. All right, so we'll try to get this 8 Days of Hope notice put up on our Facebook pages and also our AFA site so that you have that in front of you. These are ways that you can help. But as I say, you're living in an area not near these drop-off locations. Try to contact mission organizations associated with your churches and see how you can help. Because these dear folks, whether it's along our eastern seaboard or, as I say, the Bahamas in particular, a lot of these organizations will be gearing up. There are ways for you to help. You say, maybe I don't have time, I don't have vacation time where I can go to these locations. Well, by doing these donations, folks, you're doing the Lord's work. believe me, that you can help out in these areas. So we'll try to keep you up to date as the day goes on. Well, in the midst of all of this, folks, some of the major networks, you think they would be focusing full-time on this kind of thing? But at CNN, no, their focus yesterday was not on trying to help the people affected by Dorian. I was at the gym late yesterday afternoon, and like a lot of gymnasiums now, they have banks of television screens up in front of you. This is no word of exaggeration, folks. CNN spent at least 20 or 25 minutes when I was on the treadmill, and they were talking about what's been called now Sharpiegate. Don't know if you heard about this, but they were mocking, criticizing this little map. Remember the president the other day when he gave a briefing of what the United States was doing to help out the Bahamas and was going to be doing South Carolina? They were subjecting the president, criticizing him for what they called misleading the country. Because on this little map, someone, and this is why it's being called Sharpiegate, somebody took a Sharpie and penciled in that the hurricane might affect Alabama. So get a little map of the country in your mind. But the thing was, this map went back to early days when weather forecasters were projecting on routes that Dorian could take. So before we knew which way, it made, fortunately for Florida and a lot of Georgia, it took a sharp right turn after the Bahamas and headed up the coast towards the Carolinas. Well, in the map that the president put out there, somebody had drawn in from the early days of the projection that it could pass over Florida, Georgia, and into Alabama. Like I say, 20, 25 minutes, this panel last night on CNN totally focused on what a tragedy, how horrible it was for the president to put this up there, needlessly scaring people in Alabama. Now, folks, by that time, it had already turned to head north. But there was CNN doing this. CNN even ran an on-screen Chiron, which is the supers, over the screen, okay? I'm quoting here, as people die, Trump defends presenting doctored map, end quote. Now, that's what they put up there, folks. I mean, it's hard to imagine, and the only thing I can think of is the hatred amongst those people, on-air people at CNN and the little panelists that they bring in, the hatred for this president has risen to a totally irrational level. I've never seen it. I've been in this business for about 40 years now. I have never seen anything like it in my life. As if the president didn't care about those people losing their lives, those people whose lives were in jeopardy, that his focus was on a map that had drawn, somebody had drawn in. And what the White House put out a statement yesterday saying that this was a map that had been drawn in the early stages and somebody had just taken the Sharpie that was in their pocket and put that over there. Now, you might criticize the president. He might have checked that out before he put that up on a table and showed people. But he was very clear in his message that the storm was heading to the north. But no, they weren't going to let that thing go. And they're criticizing, well, the president should have apologized. Well, he didn't have anything to apologize for. It was a situation early on. Perhaps somebody could have taken the cloth and wiped out that Sharpie thing, but that's just where we are with the criticism of this president today. All right, listening to Sandy Rios in the morning, Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy today. Much more ahead when we come back here on this Friday edition of Sandy Rios in the Morning. Back in a minute.
The Ministry of Preborn meets abortion-minded women right where they are. When a young mom sees her baby on ultrasound, she's 80% more likely to keep her baby.
And I got to hear and see my baby for the first time. Hearing the heartbeat made me cry, and it was certain that I was going to keep my baby forever.
This mom chose life for her baby.
She's been such a joy. Her name even means rebirth and sort of being raised up from the ashes. I now see my daughter, and I cannot imagine my life without my happy, lovely, joyful, smart baby, and I'm so grateful.
Preborn runs and leads Christian pregnancy centers all over the country. To find out more, go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Or dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 and say baby. Your love can save a life.
This is Pause to Pray, a moment each day to pray for our country's leaders.
Today we pray for Hunter Kurtz, Assistant Secretary for Public and Indian Housing. Mr. Kurtz works to ensure safe, decent, and affordable housing. Luke 10:5 reminds us of God's desire for a peaceful home. Whenever you go into a house, greet the family right away with the words, "May there be peace in this house." Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask for guidance for Hunter Kurtz as he works to improve housing conditions for more Americans. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of the Presidential Prayer Team, a nonprofit, nonpartisan ministry dedicated to encouraging prayer for our nation's leaders. To learn more, go to pausetopray.org.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
Hello, Americans. Cutting through the campaign rhetoric. That story next.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Blake Bramlett. I graduated in May of 2016, and I graduated with a degree in interdisciplinary studies, focusing in psychology and missions. The professors here at TMU have really impacted my life in more than one way. In the classroom, of course, but really, honestly, what makes the experience at Truett better is that they're mentors to us.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
For more than 2 years, Democrats and the mainstream media have tried to destroy the Trump presidency. There were allegations of moral failings, colluding with the Russians, mental illness. And yet every time the Democrats thought they had the upper hand, President Trump came out the winner. So now they're advancing a new narrative that the president is a racist.
You've been very clear that you believe the president is a racist. Is the president a white supremacist?
He is.
This president has fanned the flames of white supremacy in this nation.
The Democrats offer no proof, just hollow words.
So my critics are political people. They're trying to make points. In many cases, they're running for president and they're very low in the polls.
President Trump is not a racist, nor is he a white supremacist. He's a man who wants to make America great again for all people, regardless of skin color. I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
And welcome back to Sandy Rios in the morning, Friday edition. Fred sitting in for Sandy today. They call it, you know, Trump derangement syndrome. You're listening in their first segment today. Talking about CNN and maybe some of the other anti-Trump networks did the same thing, but going ballistic over this little drawing. You remember the president putting up this map earlier on this week, talking about, you know, the track that Hurricane Dorian was going to take, and that it had moved to the north, but showed a map of earlier projections where it could have gone inland over Florida and through Georgia and on to Alabama. And somebody had marked in Alabama in a Sharpie. And it's become known in this mainstream media as Sharpie Gate. Oh, look what the president did now. Needlessly scaring people in Alabama. Well, that wasn't the case at all. Early on, they had predictions of tracks these hurricanes are going to take. And early on, nobody was sure. You know, Florida thought for sure it was going to get hit. But it didn't. You know, through God's grace, it turns north and heads up the coast. But it's just, it really is, you know, this phrase, Trump derangement syndrome, it's true. When a network like CNN, who I think has lost all credibility as a news network, they can spend 25 minutes on this Sharpie gate with a panel discussion. Give me a break. There are other things going on. I'm sure they didn't spend that much on Hillary's server when she wiped her server there that was in her bathroom there at her summer home. You know, it's just, it's, they've lost all credibility. These, most of these major networks, by the way, in their little climate change town hall the other night, which went on for about 7 hours, their ratings dropped below MSNBC. Deservedly so. We're going to talk a little bit more about the crazy things that were said by these Democrat presidential candidates at this climate change town hall, where the questions were all set up, but some of the ridiculous statements made by some of these presidential candidates. But you know, Mark Levin, very conservative, very brilliant talk show host, he dealt with this in a program, I believe it was either last night or the night before. Mainstream media doesn't follow the Democratic Party, they lead it. Now stop and think about that. We now have people who call themselves news journalists who have turned into political activists. Wolf Blitzer, one of the anchors. You know, I used to have respect for Wolf Blitzer in the early days of CNN. I think he's been with CNN since Turner started that network. He's been there a long, long time. But the network aired an unprecedented primetime event on climate crisis, 7-hour marathon. Blitzer says, now this is Blitzer, Wolf Blitzer talking. We have 11 years to avoid the catastrophic consequences of this crisis. Food shortages, rising sea levels, more extreme weather events like Hurricane Dorian, said CNN host Wolf Blitzer at that town hall. Now he's saying that. So Mark Levin is exactly right. Mainstream media doesn't follow the Democratic Party. They are leading it. They have become the political activists, the so-called news journalists in this country. Let's have a listen to what Mark Levin had to say.
What have we heard over the last 2 years? They bring in a porn actress hundreds of times, her now soon-to-be felonious lawyer hundreds of times. They bring on a neo-Nazi, Jake Tapper did, to try and take and attack the president. They had to fire an anti-Semitic professor over there at CNN, doing better than the New York Times, who still has their anti-Semitic senior editor. Race-baiting professors endlessly, ex-Obama officials with their vicious allegations against the president, never Trumpers, who nobody's ever heard of before, with their vicious allegations against the president. And what do we hear day in and day out from our unpatriotic media? That the president's Hitler. Do they know who Hitler is? That the president's Stalin. That he's Mussolini. That he's a white supremacist. That he's a racist, a bigot, an anti-Semite, a dictator. I just wrote these down when I hear them. A neo-Nazi. He's depraved. He's treasonous. He's demented. Mentally ill. Serial liar. Compromised. I mean, to me, that all sounds like Joe Scarborough, but what do I know? Now, what else do they push? Russia collusion. Lie. The dossier. Lie. Impeachment. Bizarre. Obstruction. Lie. So, of course, the public's turning on the press. And the president has every right to defend himself. They create fake news, pseudo events, and then they report on them and repeat them. This president has been nice to the media. Hello, nice to the media. Unlike John Adams and Abraham Lincoln and Woodrow Wilson, he didn't shut down any newspapers. He didn't imprison any journalists. Unlike FDR and JFK and LBJ, Trump hasn't unleashed the IRS against a single news publisher. They did. Unlike Barack Obama, the great Barack Obama, Trump hasn't surveilled New York Times columnists or Fox reporters or 20 Associated Press reporters, and yet they hate him. Why do they hate him? Because he's pro-American and they're anti-American. That's the only explanation. That's it.
Wow. I think, you know, Mark Levin was not exaggerating, as you just heard. He was writing down, as he heard these things, on networks like CNN and MSNBC and NBC. References to this president as being like Hitler. It's hard to imagine in a fairly short period of time that we have gone from news journalism in this country to political activists. I said many years ago, what was happening in the journalism business in this country is that journalists, news journalists, there's always room for opinion. As long as you label it opinion, I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with that at all. But when you put your billboard out there that you're a news journalist and it's a news program supposedly giving you the facts about what's going on, that has ended. These journalists, and it started in journalism schools, folks, many years ago. That's where it started. Kind of like where bad pastors come from. They come from bad seminaries. Well, bad journalists are coming from bad journalism schools, who all of a sudden have started to teach these young men and women that they are to be agents of change, that they are to use their job to convince you, and in this case of America, that capitalism is bad, but socialism is good, that Christianity is bad, biblical Christianity is bad, atheism, secularism is good. So can you start to understand why we have a generation of young people that's coming along? You've got the mainstream media. You've got the Democratic Party. You've got a corrupt judicial system and a fairly corrupt education system. Now, I know in all of those cases, there are some good people still involved. But you've got a system that is feeding the young minds out there of corruption, of a nation that somehow is bad, dirty, and must be changed. They are corrupting the minds of our young people, folks. And that is why, you know, organizations like American Family Association, American Family Radio, Brother Don saw many years ago the need for this, a radio network, and how God is blessed. We have 183 stations across the country now. So we still believe that in a God that doesn't change and that a truth that doesn't change based on biblical principles, based on biblical teaching. And I'll tell you what, unless we take seriously teaching our young people the truths of Scripture about a God who never changes, truths that never change, unless we drill that home into our kids, all of these other forces out there are going to try to persuade them and change them. It is time to stand up for truth. It really is. And I'll tell you what, if you're getting your truth from CNN and NBC and MSNBC, you're in the wrong place because they're a cesspool. They are a cesspool. And like I said, the only reason I knew what was going on CNN the other day, I happened to be at the gym and I don't have control over the TV screen when I saw that last night, Sharpie Gate. Hard to imagine. Well, as I was mentioning, CNN hosted this 7-hour town hall the other night on climate change. I don't know if you've heard some of the stuff that was mentioned there. Buttigieg, Mayor Buttigieg, South Bend, wants to be president of the United States, open homosexual. Those who eat burgers or use plastic straws are part of the problem on climate change. Yep, eat your hamburger, cheeseburger, or you use a plastic straw. By the way, have you tried to use a paper straw lately? You know what happens with paper when you get it wet? It collapses. And of course, these are the same people. They would basically like to get rid of all fossil fuels. But for everybody else, not for them. Mark Morano, he's with a group called Climate Depot. And he responded to what he saw at this CNN climate forum the other night. Cut number two.
The Democratic candidate stood on the stage at CNN last night and literally talked about who was going to tax, spend, and regulate the American economy into saving the planet. I'm going to give a spoiler here. Bernie Sanders wins. He was at over $16 trillion, followed by Kamala Harris at about 10, and then you drop way down to Elizabeth Warren in the 3, and then Joe Biden, one of the biggest losers, only wants to spend $1.6 trillion. The real question is, why didn't Bernie say $30 million or $45 trillion. Why didn't they just keep upping the numbers? But that is the bottom line. They came up with who could regulate and spend the most and who would save the planet. And I would say this after hearing this for 7 hours, one thing's for certain. If we actually faced a climate crisis and we had to rely on their tax, carbon taxes and cap and trade and, and multi-trillion, we would all be doomed if we had to rely on them to save us.
Mark Moran, a climate devo, he's got it exactly right. This is all about, folks, more government control over your life. And rest assured, these people, like these folks that were on the stage the other night, these would-be presidents of the United States, it's not about them. They're going to continue to fly in their airplanes and have their big SUVs, but for the regular, for the rest of America, they're going to make you adjust to them and become more dependent on the government. It's really interesting. The other day, a high-ranking official in the United, I think it was the United Mine Workers Union, was begging the president to tweet out about the dangers of these kind of climate change proposals, what it means for the coal industry in this country. Asking the president basically to rescue. Now stop and think about that. Coal mines, West Virginia, parts of Pennsylvania, Kentucky, other parts of the country. These Democrats want those miners. Remember Hillary Clinton, 2016? She went and actually went to West Virginia, sat down with a group of miners, and said, you know what? You're going to be without jobs if I'm elected president. Is it any wonder why the Democrats lost Pennsylvania, didn't do well in West Virginia and places like Kentucky? Now expand this exponentially to everyone in this country who works in the oil and natural gas business in this country. They would like to punish you. That's what, and where do, Bernie doesn't like to tell you where he's going to get his $16 trillion for his plan. You know where that's going to come from? From you folks. They're going to raise the taxes on gasoline to the point where you might be able to drive your car to church on Sunday. Because you know what they would like? They would like to put you all on electric buses. You have to use electric buses to get to work. Now, this is how crazy all of this is. But again, wouldn't apply to them. No, sir. This is for you folks, you peons, not for us. Because we're the leaders. We have to get around quickly. Nancy Pelosi, I've got to fly to San Francisco. I'm not going to take a bus, electric bus. I'm not going to do that. This is the hypocrisy of these individuals, folks. And I hope folks are waking up. You know, somebody said to me the other day, well, what's wrong with good stewardship of our climate? I don't have a problem with stewardship. My grandfather was a farmer. You know what? Springtime, what went on the field was what came out of the cows all winter. He was a recycler long before. That's good recycling right there. That's good stewardship. 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Are you starting to see what the agenda of these Democrats really is? Are you understanding the price that you will pay? 888-589-8840 is the number to call. Trump derangement syndrome? What do you think's behind that? There's spiritual warfare in all of this, folks. 888-589-8840 is the number to call. We will hear from you when we come back. Sandy Rios in the morning, Fred sitting in. Back in a few moments. We'll be right back.
Professing to be wise, they became fools. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. In an interview with The Hill TV, Bernie Sanders offered an astounding compliment to China and its economy in the midst of political turmoil surrounding the crackdown on political dissidents in Hong Kong. He said, "In fairness to China and its leadership, if I'm not mistaken, they have made more progress in addressing extreme poverty than any country in the history of civilization." This man wants to be president of the United States. The Chinese communists have wrongfully imprisoned and tortured millions, and they have murdered over 65 million of their own people. But when you're dead, your poverty's solved. Right, Bernie?
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Friendships is offering an amazing opportunity for young adults who want to grow in their walk with God, learn relief missions, experience life on the mission field, and become physically fit. Sound like something you're looking for? Check out Seahawks' one-year scholarship program. The next session begins this September and includes a humanitarian aid mission to Israel. Visit friendships.org or phone 337-433-5022.
Hi, Frank Turek, co-author of I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist. Please join me, Stephen Meyer, Gary Habermas, Hugh Ross, Chip Ingram, and many more at the 2019 SES National Conference on Christian Apologetics. It's October 11th and 12th in Charlotte, North Carolina. Whether you're new to apologetics or a seasoned veteran, you will walk away better equipped to engage the culture. Online sales end October 8th. For tickets and details, visit conference.ses.edu. That's conference.ses.edu.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. More than 80 times, Republicans in Congress have proposed a vote to make infanticide illegal and require that babies which survive abortions get medical care. 80 times, Democrats have voted them down. Now comes the story of a young woman who gave birth to her baby but decided she didn't want it. So she smothered it, then threw her baby's body 11 feet over an 8-foot fence and walked off and allowed it to die in the cold without so much as a name. This week, she was found guilty of first-degree murder. She now faces a mandatory life sentence for doing exactly what the governor of Virginia suggested be done to a baby who survives an abortion. This raises the question, who really deserves a mandatory life sentence without parole? A woman who does the deed under cover of darkness, or lawmakers who legalize such barbarity in the plain light of day?
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. There are over 5 million present and former federal government employees and military personnel who invest their pension funds in a retirement system known as the Thrift Savings Plan. Incredibly, the people who manage this TSP's $500 billion have decided to start investing a significant portion of those sums in Chinese companies that help their country's Communist Party enslave its own people and threaten ours. Former House Speaker Newt Gingrich warned in a powerful column published this week that this, quote, decision would provide the Chinese Communist Party with capital investment to further its nefarious aims, many of which are harmful to the United States, China's neighbors, and basic human rights. It also would put at risk the retirement funds of our civil servants and brave men and women in uniform. This decision must be reversed immediately, unquote. Amen. This is Frank Gaffney.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
And welcome back to Sandy Rios in the morning this Friday. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy. Hey, we're going to go to our phones in just a second. 888-589-8840. I got to read you a couple of stories, though. And we wonder why. You know, let's put it under that heading. We wonder why things are going off the rails in this country. Well, one of the reasons is wacky ideas in some of our schools. Montgomery County, Maryland, at Winston Churchill High School in Potomac. Now, if I was snarky, I would probably say, I wonder if any of the kids know who Winston Churchill is, but I'm not going to go there. Winston Churchill High School in Potomac. Someone had the bright idea that no kids would ever get a zero grade again. If they didn't answer any of the questions on a test, the minimum they would get is 50. They were worried about, you know, the impact of a zero on the minds of individuals. Get everything wrong, but you'll still get 50. Not to be outdone. California. A California bill. Now, in this Montgomery County school system, the parents rose up and said, we're not going to have this nonsense. They understood the dangers of this, and the school district made this high school back down from that nonsense. But out of California, this could become the law. And this law, which has already passed the assembly out there, apparently would prohibit schools, including charter schools, from suspending students for willful defiance. They believe students should have the First Amendment right to disrupt classrooms. And don't you dare suspend them. My question is, when do these kids learn to become citizens? Can you imagine hiring people who came through a high school where I'm never going to get a zero, I'm always going to get 50%. So when they get on the job, hey, I might show up 2 days out of five, but I want at least half my paycheck. And imagine, no suspensions. No suspensions in the schools for being disruptive. So this guy goes out and tries to get a job after he graduates from that high school system. Yeah, I believe I can say anything I want to the boss. They don't have a right to fire me. I have a right to do that. This is what we're teaching kids? Or the school system believes that somewhere along the way, magically, these kids start turning into decent citizens. Parents, be aware, like the up in Montgomery County, Maryland, once the parents found out about this, this is the other thing. Parents don't often know what's going on inside the schools. Make sure you know what your kids are being taught, what the policies are. So thank God for the parents up there in Montgomery County, Maryland, that rose up against this insane no-zero policy on any test. Minimum 50% grade. All right, let's go to our phones. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. Let's go to Virginia and say good morning to Leonard. Leonard, good morning.
Hey, Fred, thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. Hey, I just wanted to remind everyone about, and this has to do with climate control, how it's always claimed by the other side that it's the climate science is settled. There are at least two things that I just want to bring up. One was, remember 9 or 10 years ago, the whole scandal that broke out, and it was revealed that the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Control at University of East Anglia, they cooked the data to make it look like there was global warming. Mm-hmm. They tried to hide the true data, which showed that there was no real increase. And then, of course, they vilified those who dare go against the whole narrative. Mm-hmm. And then the second thing is only a few months ago, remember, 90 Italian scientists concluded that there really is no global warming, or that it is such a minor effect that it's not worth us, our attention and our money being brought to bear on it. So this whole notion that climate science has settled is really laughable.
Yep, exactly right. And there's more data. We appreciate that, Leonard. And there's even more data on today's issues. Yesterday, we were looking at a document that deals with the placement of these weather monitoring stations. Some of these have been were put in farmers' fields years and years ago. But now those same weather stations are surrounded by mini malls and asphalt and cement. And when you get readings, compare readings from 20 years ago from those weather stations to today, sure, it's going to show warmer temps over time. Because guess what? In the summertime, if you got a thermometer sitting near hot asphalt, you're going to have rising temperatures that go beyond when that weather station was in a farmer's field. But there apparently, there are dozens or more of these weather stations across the country that are still being used, but giving these corrupted data that these scientists are using to scare the public. That's the kind of stuff that's going on out there, folks. You know, our planet may be warming in certain locations, but to say it's man-made and that man can stop this, you know that 70% of the globe doesn't have any people in those areas? 70%. Think about all the oceans of the world. When you fly, if you go, you know, you fly out from Atlanta to California. After you fly over Dallas, folks, ain't much in the way of population down there. Vast open spaces where nobody is. And to say that man somehow is causing global climate change, it's ridiculous. As I say, God is in control of the positioning of this planet. And there may be some movement on the axis of the planet. That may be happening, but that's totally out of man's control. And by the way, some people up north, if it is warming, they're liking it. Those people that have to endure 7 months of winter, they don't have a real problem with so-called global warming. All right, Brett in Virginia. Good morning, Brett. Go ahead.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing just great.
Good. Thank you for taking my call. Mm-hmm. You spoke about truth, and we need to recognize truth and the truth of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand how you can say that and support this president who constantly lies to us. And you know, how do you support these lies? You know, you talked about young people being influenced by the left.
Uh-huh.
If you're a young person sitting in the classroom, you have a fear of being shot in the head. And the right, who actually I call the wrong, because I don't look at things as far as left and right. I look at them as left and wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But those who support the NRA and support the facilitating of these AK-47s and these assault weapons on the street that's causing this damage and causing these fear in these kids, how do you think they would even go to your side? I turned on this radio station. I used to listen to y'all.
Mm-hmm.
It was a Christian radio station.
Mm-hmm.
What you're speaking is not Christian. It's all politics, and it's all wrong side politics.
All right, Brett, I think that's a political statement that you just made. And let's be very clear, it isn't guns that kill people, it's the people who hold the guns. That is the bottom line. And what we say, because we are a Christian station, we go back to Scripture. The Bible doesn't say a sword is wicked. It's the hearts of men that are wicked. There's the problem. To our caller from Virginia, guns, knives, they've been around a long, long time. And if you go back in history, people were out there shooting people. What has changed is the hearts of individuals. A country that's in rebellion to God. You see, our caller from Virginia is believing the lies from the left. That somehow if you get gun control, that you'll stop these killings. I would invite you to go to the south side of Chicago this weekend. Illinois has some of the strictest gun laws there are. But sadly, every Monday morning, there is a body count from people being shot. Mainstream media doesn't like to report that. It's because of the hearts of individuals, folks. All right, to Oklahoma, Jim. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Fred.
Good morning.
Hey, Brad, I got an issue here. My son went down to Dallas to visit family last weekend, and the man of the house would not allow Fox or any kind of news like that. The only thing they was allowed to watch was CNN and that type of news down there.
Mm-hmm.
And my son observed an 8- and a 10-year-old sitting out there with chalk on the sidewalk. The boy's drawing stick people. Little boy, little girl, and the girl's writing over there about how she wants Fred to die.
Mm.
Hope Fred dies. And, I spoke in my church, and Pertinette got thrown out of my church because I said, these school teachers are sitting here in church right beside you, and tomorrow morning they'll be in this classroom teaching completely opposite of what we're teaching in this church. And I angered a lot of people, but I had a lot of people, the older people, come up and say, thank you for saying that when I, after, they wouldn't say it out loud, but, you know, this, you know, these people listen to these lies, and then they call the truth a lie, you know, just like Brett, it's just on there, you know. It's awful what's going on out here in reality, you know, and they're leading these people right into a demonic state, as far as I'm concerned.
Jim, you're exactly right. It is spiritual warfare, and we better start grasping that. And we got to start taking people back to the source of truth. You know, our caller was talking about teachers. Hey, listen, there are some wonderful Christian teachers that are still in our public school system. But many times, folks, their hands are tied on what they can do, what they can say. And God bless those teachers. They're still there. They can still do, they're doing their best to be a Christian witness to these kids who, for the most part, come from homes where Christianity, nobody, some of these kids have never heard of Jesus Christ. And these teachers are going to be the only manifestation of what true Christianity is. So I, as critical as I am of the public school system and policies, I'm going to continue to tip the hat of those Christian teachers who, they're in a war zone. We talk about spiritual warfare. They are in a war zone many times, and they're doing their very best to be a witness there. All right, Maria in Texas. Maria, go ahead, please.
Yes, sir. Good morning. Just wanted to ask yourself and your audience about this gun ban and how, if we allow such a thing to happen, how people feel about whether or not you carry one or not. That's not the problem. It is a right to protection, to protect yourself and your family. Mm-hmm. And without that, I truly believe that the government or people who have bad thoughts seem to see it as a weakness, and then they want to overtake you. Mm-hmm. They're not able to overtake you if you're able to protect yourself, your family, and your country.
Yeah, it's. I think it's going to be a key issue, Maria, and I appreciate your call. I think it's going to be a key issue in this coming election. No question about it, Rob.
You know, I think probably the most dangerous thing that's being presented right now are these red flag laws.
Mm-hmm.
My goodness, somebody can come in and claim that you're out of your gourd about something,
mm-hmm.
and they come take every gun you have,
mm-hmm.
and they don't have to have any reliable backup saying that you are mentally ill or whatever the case may be. It is the scariest law I've seen passed in some cities now.
Mm-hmm. I know.
It's just, it's horrible.
That's why we have to be engaged. That's right. Why we have to be involved in the political system and make your voice heard.
That's right.
And if you're the type that's sit back and, you know, que sera, sera, or somebody else will do the work, there's no time for that. We have to be involved out there and making your voice heard, because your voice still can make a difference. We still have that freedom, folks. Let's not forsake it. It's been a pleasure to be with you today on this Friday edition of Sandy Rios in the Morning, Lord willing. Sandy will be back on Monday. Have a great weekend. Have a blessed weekend. More great programming ahead here on American Family Radio. We hope we can be a blessing to you today.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.